Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening as always, and we're back. We've been gone for so long, but we're back after a couple of weeks off. No Easter, no Masters golf, just nothing this Sunday, and we're back on the air after a couple of weeks off. Catching you up. We're always off on Easter Sunday. That's been a kind of tradition of the show. And then the week before that, the Masters, when they had the weather delay, but they adjusted the schedule due to the weather at Augusta, and they had all the big names tee off in the morning. The radio coverage got shifted to the morning, and that bumped us out of the 11 a.m. time slot. Now, I did have a chance to come in and host later in the afternoon if I wanted to, but I passed on that, so please don't, you know, send management nasty messages, because they did offer me, you know, if you want to come in after the Masters and do the show, but it just didn't work with my schedule a couple of weeks ago. But no golf, no Easter Bunny. We're back here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and man, a lot going on. We've got just tons of speed on TV and on your radios this morning. If you're looking for Fast and Furious action, you got NASCAR in Talladega, and you've got NHRA in Charlotte for the 4-wide Nationals today. Lots of great action, and despite what the weather's been this weekend, especially those of you got some snow this weekend, local racing season is here. It is the end of April. We're heading into the month of May, and the local tracks are slowly but surely getting ready to open up. They would have done so already if Mother Nature would let them, but we are in the about to get rolling here locally in Western New York and Southern Ontario at our local racetracks, and we're going to be talking about that in about 11 minutes with one of the area's top drivers on dirt, Matt Williamson, who's got a busy season ahead of him. It's already started, in fact, as he'll be back at the Big R on Friday nights, the Ransomville Speedway, running weekly in their 358 Modified division, and also tackling the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modified Series for the Buzz Chu Chevrolet team in the 88 car, and he's off to a good start there with a second-place finish in their season opener a couple of weeks ago. They got rained out this weekend, but Matt will be looking to be at the Big R this Friday night for the season opener as Ransomville Speedway kicks off their 62nd season of racing. So we're going to talk to Mighty Matt in about 10 minutes here on the program. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, as I said, NASCAR in Talladega today, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. We're also going to do more with Alan Cavana from Fox Sports, who you can find him on Race Hub and on their Truck Series coverage. Alan is going to check in with us at the bottom of the hour. Alan, a busy guy, also hosts a podcast and just covers all things NASCAR on your TVs and on the internet as well, too. But phone lines are open here for you this morning, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Been a couple of weeks. If you missed us, you want to catch up, feel free to chime in here this morning. Again, 803-0550. Phone lines are open here right off the bat. We're also on Twitter, at FastTrack550. And you can find us on Facebook, too, facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. Today at Talladega, by the way, the race will be here on WGR. We're going to have live flag-to-flag coverage pre-race coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon here on WGR with the green flag just after 2 o'clock today for the running of the 50th annual GEICO 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway in Talladega, Alabama. Bonus, if you are going to be tuning into today's radio coverage, Dale Jarrett, the former NASCAR Cup Series champion, NASCAR Hall of Famer, Dale Jarrett will be on the broadcast today for the Motor Racing Network, so it'll be nice to get his insights along with the MRN crew that are down there working the straightaways and turns of the 2.66 Talladega Super Speedway. So again, pre-race at 1 o'clock, green flag just after 2 here on WGR. And today's race, it is, again, kind of the theme of this year. There are more unknowns than knowns coming into today's race. We've said that a lot here during these opening months of the season, especially the first few races of the year, such as Daytona and Atlanta and Vegas. With all the new rules packages concerning aerodynamics and everything, today is the first race of the new Super Speedway package and the end of restrictor plate racing. It is now tapered spacer racing, I guess you could call it. As teams, we have a tapered spacer on their engines instead of the old Restrictor plate, those have gone away. They do have more horsepower. They have 550 horsepower on the cars, and actually speeds have been up so far in qualifying and in the practice sessions. The practice speeds in the draft, fastest speeds at average of 204 miles an hour, much lower in qualifying because they did single car qualifying. So the pole speed for today, only 192 miles an hour, but the practice speeds up into the 202s to 204 range. And after the first round of practice this weekend, when they were going already 202, 203, 204, NASCAR tried to do something to make them go slower. They put a what they call a wicker bill, a curved piece of metal at a 90-degree angle on the top of the spoiler, which is bigger, which, of course, is taller this year on the Cup cars. They tried to do that to make them slower, and, in fact, it sped them up for the second round of practice when they went out there with the wicker bill on the rear spoiler. Because from what we've been hearing is it actually creates a bigger hole in the air and allows these cars in the draft to go faster. And that you're going to hear the phrase closing rate a lot today, whether you're listening on the radio here on WGR or if you're going to watch the broadcast on Fox today, you're going to hear the phrase closing rate probably a lot today. It's going to be the drinking phrase of the broadcast. If you're a NASCAR person on Twitter, the old drinking game, whatever phrase of the week that we'll probably hear repeatedly. Closing rate is probably what you're going to hear a lot today because these cars really close up, and we could have the potential of a very different kind of restrictor plate, or excuse me, can't say that anymore, super speedway race than we've been seeing in NASCAR for the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years in the Gen 6 restrictor plate cars. In the past, you know, the kind of the best way to win at the Super Speedways, Daytona, Talladega here the last 5 to 10 years, especially the last 5 years, is who can be the best blocker, who can get out in front of that pack and, you know, be in charge of that longest line. And when that second line kind of pulls up on the inside or on the outside, be able to block both of those lanes. Guys like Joey Logano, Ricky Stenhouse, really good at doing that. Brad Keselowski, very good at doing that. That might not be the way to win today at Talladega because you might not have as much time to throw that block as you did in years past because these cars are cutting bigger holes in the air. Think about it. They're almost more like a truck. A truck series truck, how big of a hole they cut in the air, which makes their racing so much better than the Cup and the Xfinity cars. That's kind of what's going to happen today. And these cars suck up on the leader a lot quicker and at a higher rate of speed. So if that guy tries to throw that block, there's a good chance if he doesn't time it right, and again, it's going to have to be a lot faster to throw that block, they're going to get hooked and turned and spun down the straightaway and possibly cause a multi-car pileup. So that is going to be the theme of the day today, and still a lot of unknowns because we haven't seen it in a race setting. We've seen it in, you know, in testing and in practice so far this weekend, but they haven't done it in race mode. So today could be a very expensive day for team owners as the potential for a lot of wreck race cars. Not that there already is at a super speedway race, but even more so today because of the unknowns. And, you know, if these guys try and block up too much, you know, with the faster closing rate, they could get taken out a lot quicker. So that is going to be something to really watch for today. And hopefully, hopefully it doesn't get too bad where we get cars getting airborne, which is always the biggest threat at the super speedway races when a car gets turned sideways and that rear end gets up in the air. We get cars going airborne, which of course gave us the birth of restrictor plate racing 32 years ago. I think it was 87. I think was the year when Bobby Allison got airborne at Talladega and took out the catch fence. And had some fans injured in the process, which actually that crash has been prominent in Fox's advertising, which is pretty disturbing. But their advertising for this race, you see that Bobby Allison wreck at Talladega when he gets in the catch fence. That's what created restrictor plate racing in NASCAR, because for those of you that were around back then or just know your history, you know, 85, you know, Bill Elliott going 212 as those Cup cars had no restrictor plates on them. They had their full engine package, and they were, even without the draft, going over 200 miles an hour, and you started to see those big, scary pileups. Richard Petty was in a horrible super speedway wreck around that time, and then the Bobby Allison one. That's when NASCAR decided to put the restrictor plates on the cars, but this is about as fast as they've gone since then. Here, again, 204 in the draft in practice. We will see what kind of race that leads to today. Quick look at the starting lineup. Some familiar names from last year's Daytona 500, as it's Austin Dillon and Eric Almirola, who of course got together on the last lap of the Daytona 500 last year. They share the front row today as Austin Dillon. Thought this was a neat stat. Austin Dillon giving Richard Childress Racing and the three car, its first pole at Talladega in 25 years. Dale Earnhardt had the pole in 94, of course. The Intimidator won 10 times at Talladega, including his very last Cup Series win. So for the first time since 94, Austin Dillon has the three car on the pole at Talladega alongside Eric Almirola. His teammate Clint Bowyer rolling off third today. Brad Keselowski, always a strong threat Super Speedway track, will roll off fourth. Daniel Hemric, again, some great qualifying runs for Hemric in the Richard Childress Racing number 8 car. Hasn't had the finishes, has had some bad luck, but I know I've mentioned his name a couple of times here over the last few shows, just how well he's been doing qualifying, but again, just hasn't had the finishes to go with it for the rookie driver. Ricky Stenhouse, always a threat at a Super Speedway, including Talladega, where he's finished in the top five, four out of the last five races at Talladega. So obviously keep an eye on the 17 car. Then you've got the Penske cars of Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano in row number 4. Alex Bowman and Kyle Larson round out your top 10. Starters Chase Elliott, always a threat as well. He still starts 11th. Then you got Michael McDowell. Of course, Super Speedway races lend themselves to underdogs and dark horses to steal wins, especially if there's a lot of carnage. And it's always those front row motorsports cars that always seem to be those ones lurking around at the end of a Super Speedway race. And Michael McDowell could be there in 34th. Same story with Ty Dillon. Always there at the end, it seems like, at a Super Speedway race, especially when there's a lot of carnage. He'll be going off 13th today. He shares row 7 with Kurt Busch. Who else we got here? Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex probably took it a little more safer in qualifying. Didn't take as probably many. Probably didn't really trim the car out for qualifying. I probably concentrated more on their race setups. They qualified 19th and 20th. Same for Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Busch. They're 21st, 22nd. Then you got Denny Hamlin back in 23rd. William Byron starts 25th today. Eric Jones 27th. Ryan Preece back in 30th. Jeffrey Earnhardt in today's race. He starts 33rd today. And that's kind of it for notable names in the field. There were some pre-qualifying inspection issues for a couple of cars, notably actually your pole sitter, Austin Dillon. I believe it was on Friday. He had the rear deck lid on his car confiscated by NASCAR. I think those penalties for that, though, since it was before qualifying, he'll still start on the pole today. I think the penalties for that infraction might not come down till later this week. And then I believe it was Kurt Busch. He had his car fail qualifying a couple of times as well, too. And I believe he had a car chief ejected from the facility already because of those failed pre-qualifying inspections. Again, when you have your car fail 2-3 times, they start ejecting car chiefs and crew chiefs and fines and all that fun stuff. So NASCAR been pretty stout in their inspection process this weekend. But again, the race coming up today at 1 o'clock and... or excuse me, pre-race coming up here at 1 o'clock on WGR Green Flag just after 2. And again, it just don't know what to expect again with the common theme this year with the rules changes. We don't know what we're going to see because they have not been tested in a race setting that, it's a lot of unknowns. So you'll probably be seeing maybe a lot of guys hanging at the back here early on, which isn't always the best strategy, but whenever they still have that possibility. But I bet just judging based off the qualifying results, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you see all the Gibbs cars kind of at the back of the pack for most of the day. I mean, if you looked at where they qualified, they weren't, emphasizing themselves on getting a great starting position. They're more about maybe just surviving today. And despite them dominating so far this year, I wouldn't be surprised if all the JGR cars kind of hang out at the back of the pack today. 803-0550. But right now, let's go to the Wester Hotline and bring in from the Super Dirt Car Series and the Ransomville Speedway. Matt Williamson joins us on the line from St. Catharines. Matt, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning, my friend.
Nice to hear from you. How are you doing?
Doing well, and I'll be honest. I'm really excited to be seeing you on Friday nights again this season. When I found out you were going to be driving the Wentz Propane number 6 this year at the Big R on Friday nights, I was really excited. I'm really looking forward to seeing you race there once again on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back. You know, it's an awesome opportunity to drive for CW Racing with Paul and Pete Coco. You know, the Wentz Propane car. It's you know, Scott Kerwin's been behind the wheel for the last however many years. You know, forever it seems like. And you know, they wanted to you know, try and race more. And you know, I'm excited to do it for him. So we get to be back every Friday night there. And you know, we went out last night, got in the car for the first time, and it's pretty stout, so I'm excited for Friday.
It looks real sharp. Unfortunately, practice was rained out this past Friday night, but as you said, the season opener this Friday. You enter into a modified division with plenty of guys you're very familiar with, but a stout field of competition you're going to face on Friday nights with reigning champ Eric Rudolph, former multi-time champ Ryan Soucy, the Mr. Small Block himself, Pete Bicknell, Chad Brockman, Jesse Kotras, just a lot of talented guys that you've raced around with for a number of years, but just going head-to-head with those guys on a weekly basis at Ransomville, it's going to make for a challenge for you and your team.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you said it right. There's certainly a lot of competition there, and you know, Ransomville's pretty awesome racetrack to race on. It's pretty racy, and you know, it makes it so that when you have a good car, you can go to the front, and hopefully we can knock off some wins there, and you know, maybe at the end we could come away with a championship.
Of course, in 358 modified racing right now, Matt, is the great W16 engine package that is permeating into the division. A lot of guys running with it. What kind of power plant do you have under the hood? Is it the W16 motor, or do you have a regular 358 here?
It's a W16. I have my own car has a regular 358 motor. The Wentz Propane car is a W16, like I just said. And we got out with it yesterday. We ended up doing some laps with it, and I was actually very impressed with it. I didn't think that it was that much different from my own car, and we were running them side by side and basically on the same track, and you know, they were within a tenth. One was better one time, and the other one was better the other time. So you know, it's pretty impressive to see the motor run as good as it did.
Where did you get on track yesterday? I know a lot of tracks rained out this weekend.
Yeah, Maryville rained out, and there was a guy that came down from Quebec, and he wanted to race, so he ended up renting the track off of Donnie Spies.
Oh, okay.
We went out and got a few laps just to shake down the car yesterday.
So just like one of them private test sessions.
Private test session, yeah. We were special enough to be in the private test session.
How are you going to be running Maritville on Saturday nights this year, too?
We're going to be there until pretty much August, and then we're going to go to Orange County. We're going to miss a race at Maritville when we go to Orange County. And race for $100,000, and then we're going to miss another race when we go to Lebanon Valley for the Super Dirt Series race.
And that'll be your own car up there at Maritville?
Yes, my own car at Maritville every Saturday night, and then my own big block car at all the Canadian Super Dirt Series races.
Yeah, you also run the Super Dirt Car Series, and you're off to a good start there with a second place finish in the season opener. And you've teamed up with a pretty strong operation, the Buzz Chew team, the Buzz Chew Chevrolet team, and that 88 car that Mike Mahaney most recently drove in. How did you get hooked up with those guys, and how do you like working with them?
I met Spot last year during the summer, you know, and we got talking a little bit, and everything, you know, kind of transpired after Charlotte this year, and we made a game plan to kind of chase the Super Dirt Series and start off by doing those races and kind of take it one thing at a time, and it kind of fell into my lap, and it's probably the best opportunity you could have for the Super Dirt Series. You know, their stuff is second to none, and it's very humbling to for them to give me the opportunity. You know, it's kind of, you know, I can't be appreciative enough for Buzz and his whole family for giving me the opportunity, and I'm super excited to try and knock off a win with them guys in the Super Richers. I'm tired of finishing second on that deal.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be a huge accomplishment for you to get into the winner's circle of the Super Dirt Car Series. You guys were supposed to race this weekend at Fulton, but unfortunately got rained out. Next stop for them is Tuesday, May 7th at the Outlaw Speedway in Dundee, New York, kind of out by Watkins Glen. When you look at the Super Dirt Car schedule, Matt, what are some of the challenges and what are some of the facilities you're looking to going to for the most? Or looking forward to going to most?
You know, anytime you can get racing, you're excited about it, especially with the equipment that they give me. You know, K&M, we kind of had circled on the calendar. That was a place we went to last year and ran good with our small block. Fulton was one of those races that I thought we had a good chance at winning. We went to the Outlaw 200 last year and led the first 75 laps and then broke a drive shaft. So, you know, you want to go back to those places that you've had misfortunes and had a good car. And you feel like you put yourself in a position to win and don't, you know, it's almost like going back to redeem yourself. So I was bummed that Fulton rained out. We ran good last year at Outlaw when we went there for the Short Track Super Series with Jeff Barron.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a race I'm looking forward to. The biggest challenge is probably going to be Lebanon Valley. I've never raced there. That's probably the only place I haven't raced at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit different of a track than what we're used to in upstate New York. So that's probably going to be the biggest challenge. But Spot and the guys, they want to go there and try and get a night in under our belt before we go and race there for the Super Dirt Series to try and make ourselves better. So we're gonna work at it and try and go there with a shot to win.
And I know you got to be excited that Eldora's back on the schedule this year, and you guys running with the truck series, and your buddy Stuart Friesen will be down there. But I'm sure you're excited to head back to Eldora in July.
Yeah, that place is, you know, as everybody knows, it's probably the best dirt facility in the Northeast, or in the country, I should say. You know, you can't thank them enough for having the Super Dirt Series come to town when the trucks do. And it goes to show you how much national exposure we're going to get by going to that, and you know how well respected the Super Dirt Series is by them giving the Super Dirt Series the opportunity. So hopefully we can go there and put on a good show and show the whole country what modifieds are all about.
You mentioned last year driving for the Barron's team on the Short Track Series. One of the most exciting races I watched, and I watched it from my computer on Speed 51, but you and Andy Bichetti, I think it was around Super Dirt Week. I can't remember the track now, but you guys had a battle, and I think he got you on the last lap. What race was that last year?
Yeah, I don't like to look back at that one. yeah, that was Thunder Mountain, Super Dirt Week, and there's a funny story with that race. Thunder Mountain's probably... you know, a regular car ride, probably 2 hours from Oswego.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we had rain on Saturday in the morning, so everything got delayed at Oswego. And we were in a good position in the points for the Short Track Super Series, but we kind of knew that was going to be a conflict.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting out of Oswego, racing down, doing, you know, hopefully there's no police officers listening, but we were doing probably like 95 miles an hour down the 81 to get to... Thunder Mountain in time, and of course we were driving safe, and we pulled in just in time for our heat race, and went out and won our heat race, started on the pole, and you know, as you said, Andy Bichetti passed me on the last lap, and we got caught up in lap traffic. It was a bummer. We put ourselves in a good position to win that race, and it would have been nice to knock off a win for Jeff and the guys. They work really hard at that deal, and you know, unfortunately we didn't last year, but we're looking forward to it this year. We didn't think we would be as good as we were at the end in the points, because when we went to Orange County for the very first race, we put the motor up. So, you know, if we look back at that and see what could happen if we didn't blow that motor up, I think we would have been in a good position to win that deal. So it's kind of like a redemption year this year.
Well, Matt, with your performances like that last year and touring with that team, the Barron team last year, and what you're going to do this year at the Super Dirt Car Series, we've got, you know, Eric Stewart and now you, and, you know, guys like Ryan Soucy and in the past guys, you know, like Chad Brockman, that have come from this area, Western New York, you know, Southern Ontario, the Niagara region, as I like to call it, for the Super Dirt Car Series, to go represent our area and show people in the eastern part of New York State and other parts of the Northeast that we've got some really darn good race car drivers in the dirt modified ranks, and I just wanted to commend you for showing those folks that we've got some talent up here, and just wanted to say great job that you've done in the past, and I wanted to wish you the best of luck here in 2019.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me. And yeah, like you said, you know, Ranchville on Friday nights, it's going to be exciting with all the talent that's there, and you know, us joining the ranks, it's going to be fun to see.
Look forward to see you on a Friday night, my friend.
All right, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Yep, Matt Williamson. You can find him on Twitter at Williamson6. Friday nights at the Big R, driving for Pete Coco and Paul Wentz in the Wentz Propane number 6. Saturday nights, I didn't mean to overlook his Saturday night ride at Merrifield Speedway, his own ride, but yeah, you can catch him Saturday nights at the Merrifield Speedway too, and then of course with the Super Dirt Car Series running for the Buzz Chu Chevrolet team, the 88 car. Again, this weekend, coming weekend, Friday night Ransomville, Saturday at Merrittville. Hopefully the weather cooperates and we can do some racing here in Western New York and Southern Ontario. We get back, we're going to talk to Alan Cavana from Fox Sports and NASCAR and Fox as we continue to preview today's NASCAR race at Talladega. That's coming up next here on Fast Track.
Hi, this is Austin Dillon, driver of the number 3 Dow Chevrolet. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Austin Dillon on the pole for today's Geico 500 from the Talladega Super Speedway. You can hear it right here on WGR. Live coverage from our friends at the Motor Racing Network. It's going at 1 o'clock today, green flag just after 2. And again, Dale Jarrett on the broadcast today for the Motor Racing Network. F1 already in action today. They were over in Baku, Azerbaijan. And it was a Mercedes 1-2 sweep as Valtteri Bottas and Lewis Hamilton taking the top two spots. And of course, you had to find Ferrari on the podium as well, too, as Sebastian Vettel rounding out the top three. Max Verstappen for Red Bull. Charles Leclerc for Ferrari round out the top five. Then you had Sergio Perez, the McLaren team of Sainz and Lando Norris. Canadian Lance Stroll in ninth. Kimi Raikkonen rounding out the top 10. Haas F1, not a great day. Kevin Magnussen finishing 13th. And Romain Grosjean retired, placing 18th, I guess you could say, with a brake failure on the Haas F1 car for Grosjean. In practice earlier this weekend, I saw the clip on Twitter, and I can't remember which car it was now, but there was actually like a sewer grate or something they ran over, and it tore the heck out of the bottom of the car because it was a street course there in Azerbaijan. But it's been a wild weekend. They had some pretty nasty practice crashes on top of the sewer manhole cover or something, taking out the bottom of one of the cars. Valtteri Bottas, your points leader, has a one-point advantage over teammate Lewis Hamilton, and then the Ferraris are way back, and Verstappen for Red Bull are way behind the two Mercedes cars. Also, as I mentioned off the top, NHRA in action, the four-wide nationals, the second of the two four-wide events on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series schedule. Mike Salinas, who won Top Fuel at Vegas earlier this year in the four rides, he's top qualifier there. Robert Height, who's already got 3 wins out of the first 5 races as your top qualifier in Funny Car. No Pro Stock this time around. They are on one of their breaks this year, as again, Pro Stock has a shortened schedule. Karen Stauffer is the top qualifier in Pro Stock Motorcycle. Also, the Pro Mods are in Charlotte this weekend, and Mike Janis, the reigning division class champion there in NHRA Pro Mod, and Lancaster's very own qualifying number 7 today in Pro Mod. So they'll be in action as well. I already saw Dan Fletcher, unfortunately, got eliminated in both classes he's running in this weekend, too, unfortunately for him. IndyCar, of course, the calendar about to turn to the month of May, which you know what it means. They get down to business at the Brickyard in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. In fact, they've already had a test session this week at the Brickyard, and coming up, not this weekend, but the following weekend, is the Grand Prix race on the course there at the Brickyard, the Indianapolis Grand Prix, and then, of course, they'll go into Indy 500 mode there at the Brickyard with practice and qualifying for the greatest spectacle in racing coming up Memorial Day weekend. And we'll have more on IndyCar in the month of May and in the coming weeks here on the program. But right now, let's go to the Wester Hotline and bring in from Race Hub on Fox and NASCAR on Fox, Alan Cavana joins us on the line again. Alan, Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Always great to talk to you, Dave.
Yeah, it's great catching up with you, Alan. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to us this morning. And as I kind of said off the top here, another one of those races here to start this 2019 season where there's a lot more unknowns than knowns for today's race at Talladega.
Really, it really is. And it's so strange. I mean, we've 9 races into the season so far, and so many of them have had
you know, featured a different combination of setup or aerodynamics or different kind of engine and just a different combination of everything. And now we get to another race, the 10th race of the season, where we're seeing it again. This one, a super speedway down in Talladega. Used to call it a restrictor plate race. People might know that term, but those are gone for the first time in 30-plus years. No more restrictor plates. A totally different type of racing down in Talladega, and I don't think any of us know what to expect, including the teams.
I will admit, I've already called it a restrictor plate race twice this morning, and I quickly corrected myself. I got to switch my brain to say super speedway race instead of restrictor plate race.
Yeah, it's fine. It's something we'll all have to change. And I encourage everyone, don't get too caught up in the minutia, because we're still going to see the packs of racing. And I think we're going to see a different kind of excitement today in terms of drivers that are able to catch, you know, the leader. Sometimes when you're the leader at these big tracks, you can block and you can protect each line, and that's what we love about them. We're going to see big runs from packs of cars coming from behind and chasing down the leader like he's sitting still. At least that's what people are expecting. So it'll be a little different.
When you look at the starting lineup, Alan, you could maybe see some teams maybe showing their hand a little bit, maybe strategy-wise. You look at, you know, all the Gibbs cars are starting, you know, 20th on back with Truex, Busch, Hamlin, and Eric Jones. But then you look at the front of the lineup today, and you've got a couple Stewart Haas cars. You got the Richard Childress cars, of course. It seems like those teams might be running, they're focusing on maybe running up front all day, whereas the Gibbs cars, which they've done in past super speedway races, they might just hang back for most of the race today and try and survive.
It is, and Talladega has proven to be a type of track where you can pull that strategy off, right? I do a podcast called Positive Regression, and we talked about you can break down by position where the safest parts are during this race. The safest place to be is the leader, because the leader rarely wrecks at these big tracks. And also the safest part to be at the back. So I think you might see some of these Joe Gibbs Racing Toyotas. Look, it's a 500-mile race. It's long. It's not the most fun or sexy thing to look at, but you have to survive to be there at the end. And we might see some of these Toyotas gang up in the back, drive around until the end, till it's go time, and then show their muscle. We've seen that strategy work, and then we also saw last year, if you remember, the Stewart Haas Racing cars. For the first time ever, four cars, they kind of created a somewhat of a blockade at the front of the field and protected themselves all day, and one of them ended up winning, Eric Almirola. Toward the end, everyone turns on each other, right, even if you're teammates, but strategy will make a big part of this race, whether it's at the front of the field or the back of the field.
Of course, Alan, another name we got to look forward to is another former Talladega winner, Ricky Stenhouse, who I believe in the last five Talladega races has finished in the top five in four of them. Obviously, Ricky, and a very aggressive driver, maybe not making friends with some of his fellow drivers out there this season, but he's obviously going to be one to watch today.
He is, and this is what I love about the super speedway racing. It kind of, some people call it luck, but it is a skill, and it is absolutely a skill, and we see that skill come up with drivers like Brad Keselowski, and we see it come out with drivers like Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and some people don't like that he's so aggressive because it's so dangerous out there, but look, you just mentioned his record. Being aggressive pays off, especially at a track like Talladega. Some people are timid. Some people are timid to get out of line or try to make a move in fear of going back a few positions. But the payoff is enough where if you can get to the front, that's the best place to be, right? So we've seen Ricky Stenhouse be aggressive and go to the back a little bit, but it also pays off in him getting to the front and leading this race. And sometimes it ticks people off because they are just not moves that everyone is suited to make. Stenhouse is one of those drivers. He's not looking for friends. He's looking for a trophy.
Alan Cavana from Fox Sports joining us here in WGR's Fast Track. Stenhouse kind of fits in this next category, but of course the super speedway races have always been known to provide us with those dark horse slash underdog winners, you know, even going back to Bobby Hill in the 1980s at tracks like this. I don't know, there's a lot of good names you could put on this list. Your Matt DiBenedettos, your Ty Dillons, your Front Row Motorsports cars. If you're building a fantasy team or a FanDuel team, Alan, there's lots of fun picks you can add today.
Absolutely. Two drivers I'm looking at, you mentioned him, Matt DiBenedetto. I talked to him earlier this week on Race Hub, and remember, he's led the most laps in the Daytona 500 track, just like Talladega. It may be a little different racing today, but you can't discount that, because through no fault of his own, he got taken out in a wreck. But those Toyotas are strong, and Matt DiBenedetto proved himself to be a good plate racer, and I think he can do it again today if he can stay out front or at least stay there until the end, like we were talking about the strategy. Another one I'd be looking at, you don't always think about the six car anymore, but Ryan Newman has done great things now that he's moved over to Roush Fenway Racing. He's improved where that car is running, where that car we've expected it to run, and he's a good plate racer. So for two cars you may not think of, long odds, if you will, Matt DiBenedetto and Ryan Newman in the six car.
And when you look at the pull back and look at the season as a whole so far this year, obviously the Gibbs and Penske cars have dominated this season, but what are some early season surprises and maybe an early season disappointment for you so far this year?
Yeah, I think that goes both ways. It just depends on who you're a fan of, right?
Yeah.
It is surprising that Joe Gibbs Racing and Stuart Haas Racing are the only two organizations, I'm sorry, Joe Gibbs Racing and Team Penske are the only two organizations to have wins. That is surprising. Kyle Busch has dominated the entire season, it seems like, in every series. I cover the truck series for NASCAR, and mm-hmm. he's won four of those races. And so it's also on the same end, it's both surprising and disappointing if you are a Stuart Haas Racing fan to not have anything yet. I mean, look, they set their own bar, right? I mean, we are judging them by the bar that they set last year with all those wins, Kevin Harvick getting 8 wins, dominating. I'm talking leading laps and just being there at the end of all these races, and they have nothing to show for it quite yet. And that is surprising, and they should be worried. We're a quarter of the way into the season, and this is something that, you know, if we have plenty of time to go, but they need to be worried. And if you're a Hendrick fan, no wins for Chevys so far. Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking about earlier this week, that, you know, what do you want to see in Talladega? I want to see the Chevys show up, because the more more drivers you have up there in the mix, the better the racing is, right? I mean, the more competitive cars you have, the better the racing is. So I think it's time for, I think Chase Elliott will have a great day. Kurt Busch is always great on super speedways, but all those Chevy teams need to show up and make a better show.
Alan, you mentioned the truck series, and you're back to work next weekend because they're going to be at Dover along with the Cup Series next weekend. And despite Kyle Busch on a 4-race win streak there in the truck series, Niagara on the Lake Zone, Stuart Friesen, they're leading the points, and he's off to a good start this year in a very competitive truck series.
Absolutely, and he's only getting better, Stuart Friesen, and we're just waiting. We're just waiting for him to finally get that win. I hate to say a record, or it's not exactly a good record, but I mean, the most second place finishes he's tied right now, you know, for the most second place mm-hmm. in history without getting his first victory. And you know, it's there. He's come so close. I like working down in the pits because a lot of times I'll have his pit and I'll know, you know, kind of the story of what's going on each race. And Stuart Friesen comes so close, him and his crew chief and the team, they're knocking on the door. And like you said, leading the points, and that's what's important. We can't overlook that. I know Kyle Busch may get the headlines, but Stuart Friesen leading the points, positioning himself for a good championship run. That'll be fun to see for everyone up north.
Let's get a couple plugs in for you. You mentioned it already, your podcast, Positive Regression, with, I believe, David Smith, right, from Motorsports Analytics?
Yeah, we started a podcast this year, and it's kind of nerdy, you know, if you're a NASCAR fan, but especially if you are into, like, say, daily fantasy, or if you are into setting a fantasy lineup every Sunday, I promise you it will help. Follow me on Twitter. I'll kind of direct you to where exactly you want to listen each week if you want to fast forward a little bit. But we just get into it. You know, things like baseball and everything, they have these advanced statistics that people are really starting to get used to and appreciate. NASCAR deserves that type of conversation, and I think that's what we provide.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple episodes. Really enjoy it. I think you guys are doing a great job with that. And then also, what's coming up on Race Hub this week?
This will be fun. We're talking about Northern drivers, modified drivers.
Yes.
We do a fun series called Ride to Work, and we're making our season debut this year of Ride to Work with a young man, Ryan Preece, the rookie. And, you know, him and I are both from Connecticut, both yeah. came up driving the same way. Obviously, he's a little more talented and, driving, but we have a very fun episode of Ride to Work coming up on Wednesday on Race Up. And that's every night at 6 p.m.
Very good. Do you want to grade the Bills draft class for us?
Yes, I will give. I'm a solid Bills fan. I appreciate you for asking, and I'll give it a solid B, only because look, there's nothing sexy about it. But they went and they got good defenders. I say, whenever in doubt, go and get an SEC defender. You know, they drafted guys from big schools like Miami. That'll never hurt you. I do wonder what they're doing at running back, and I wonder, you know, the two tight ends they drafted. I just wonder, you know, they got a running back and two tight ends. I'm wondering who Josh is going to throw it to still come next year, but I will put our faith in the higher-ups over in Buffalo and say, 2020 Super Bowl champions.
Alan Cavana, Fox Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at Copa Cavana. Alan, weekend off for you, so I appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the race from home, and then have a great weekend next weekend at Dover.
No problem. I appreciate it. Talladega, one of the most fun races to watch of the year, so I'm going to enjoy it as well.
All right. Take care, Alan. Thanks, you. Alan Cavana from Fox Sports joining us here, and catch him on Race Hub again every day at 6, Monday through Friday there on Fox Sports 1. And check out if you're, again, an analytics person or a stats person, check out the Positive Regression podcast he does. It is pretty interesting stuff. All right, we get back. Open phones for this next segment. Close out the program, 803-0551, 888-552-550. Also, we'll take a swing around some of the dirt tracks that are opening up in these next couple of weeks. I'll try and highlight which tracks are opening when and what's on their early season schedules. We wrap up Fast Track here on WGR.
Hey, this is Bubba Wallace, driver of the number 43 Chevrolet, and you're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good to hear my broadcast partner there, John Gerler, that ad for the Buffalo Bandits. Yes, playoffs this Saturday night. Get your playoff tickets. Bandits, Black Wolves, 7:30 this Saturday at the KeyBank Center. I'm not sure if we're on GR or ESPN 1520 with the broadcast on Saturday night. So we'll be on this station Saturday or down the dial at 1520 for Bandits Black Wolves. If you can't go, but you want to tune in, but you should go because it's awesome. And they won again last night. Regular season finale, beat the San Diego Seals 18-7. I was worried about, not worried, because they had the first place locked up, but since they didn't have anything to play for and it's a trip out west of San Diego for the first time, I was prepared for a letdown, but nope. They played another just strong, full team effort, kind of like they did against New England a couple of weeks ago. These last two efforts have been phenomenal. All three facets, offense, defense, goaltending, even in transition too, just two great games to round out the regular season. Got some help from Georgia, locked up the number one overall seed, and the road hopefully to the NL Cup comes through Bandit Land, and it starts this Saturday night against the Black Wolves in the first round. But that's the lacrosse side of my world. Now back to the racing side of my world as we wrap up Fast Track here on WGR. Dave Buchanan here with you. As I said, the local track's starting to get open. They wanted open this weekend, but unfortunately Mother Nature did not let them. Although, I guess Merrittville did have a private test session, track rental, I should say, not secret or anything, but someone rented the track there at Merrittville, so there was some on-track action. But coming up this weekend, a lot of the dirt tracks starting to open up. Ranceville opens up the season this Friday night at 7:15 with all the divisions, along with the new Street Sox series with the Humberstone Speedway. That gets going this Friday night. Merrittville, they have a practice session on Wednesday, and then they're racing Saturday night, May 4th, with all their divisions, including the Hoosier Stock Duel on the Dirt Series. Humberstone had supposed to have their Dawn of Destruction today, but that got canceled due to the weather. That is going to be next Sunday, May 5th. They don't get going till May 19th with their season. They have practice on May the 12th. Freedom Motorsports Park, they are this year focusing on the super late models as their top division. They're also running a little more of a smaller schedule, kind of running every other week so they're running a smaller set of events. But the super late models are the headline division at Freedom this year. They have a practice session both Saturday and Sunday next week, including an Enduro next Sunday. Their opening night will be May the 10th with the Super Lates. They're still running Dirt Car Sportsman Weekly, Street Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bandits. State Line Speedway also, I believe, had it supposed to practice this week, and that got rained out. Their opening night down there in Bustine, New York, is this coming Saturday with a $1,000 to win Challenger special, and all of their six divisions are racing. That gets going at 7 o'clock. And then the Genesee Speedway was supposed to have an Enduro yesterday, but again, rained out. They are opening up their season this Saturday night, May 4th, with the Crate Lates, the Sportsman, Street Stock, Mini Stocks, and Bandits. This Saturday night at the Genesee Speedway in Batavia. So all the dirt tracks get going just about this week or in the coming weeks. On the pavement side of things here in Western New York, good news and some bad news. Good news is Lancaster Speedway looks like it's going to be racing this year, as the track has been sold, as we kind of knew a couple of weeks ago. But it looks like all systems go with Vito Antonicelli and Mike Swinarski buying the track. They do have a dragway drivers meeting on Tuesday. The stock car program sounds like it's still being put together, exactly what they're going to do. That's about all I have for you on that point, but stay tuned as details will continue to come out. Wyoming County Speedway, they do have practice this coming Saturday afternoon. They've got 3 weeks or 2 weeks of practice before opening on May the 18th at the Wyoming County International Speedway in Perry, New York. And the track at Hillside Buffalo, there are more questions than answers regarding their season. They do have a schedule, but practice was canceled, and they haven't had any drivers' meetings yet either this year that I believe of. So some question marks over at the track at Hillside. But Wyoming County is guaranteed to go on May 18th, and we'll hopefully have a Lancaster stock car schedule here in the coming weeks and some kind of season out there. Luckily, we do have Spencer Speedway. They're going to run, as we mentioned, their six races with the Race of Champions and Jeff DeMink partnering up on that operation. And the Race of Champions modifieds get going May 18th out at the Chemung Speedrome down in the Southern Tier. So a great local racing season is now right on our doorsteps. Hopefully get out to the tracks this weekend and in these coming weeks, help support our local racers. And we'll be looking forward to getting the local racing roundup fired up here in the coming weeks to recap all the action for you on Fast Track. So thanks for listening. Don't forget, NASCAR race from Talladega coming up today on WGR. Pre-race at 1. Green flag coming up just after 2 o'clock. And follow us on Twitter during the race so we can talk about it and maybe freak out about some crazy crashes. We'll see what happens today with the new Super Speedway package there at Talladega. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.